This morning I want to talk about the offense of the cross. The text is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Father, I thank you for your word because I know it's the truth. I thank you for the Spirit of truth, and I ask that he would speak through me this morning as we present your truth to the people. I ask that you would take this to our hearts, encourage us by this message, Lord, because we live in such a wicked time in this country, in such a falling away from the truth. Encourage us, embolden us to speak the truth in love. And we just will be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In my opinion, the story of the cross is the greatest love story ever told. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to redeem us and deliver us from sin, from judgment, from the second death. But many today find this offensive. Now, I've had 2 weeks to study and get this ready and to meditate on it. And if you're like me, I think, what is so offensive about the story of the cross? This great story of love, God's love for us, and his willingness to send his Son to this cross, to this very torturous capital punishment, that you and I might be redeemed. Well, this morning I want to look at some of the things that make the cross offensive to people, in my opinion, what I believe offends people about the gospel, about the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to start with Jesus, who is the best source. You remember a Pharisee came to him named Nicodemus, came to him at night. I think he probably didn't want people to see him talking with the Lord, but he admitted to him, you have to be from God, because nobody can do what you do unless the Lord is with him. And Jesus and him got into a conversation about being born again. And Nicodemus, of course, he didn't understand that. And my understanding from the commentaries I've read, the Greek for being born again means being born from above. And in the course of that, Jesus shared with Nicodemus that he came here to go to the cross. Now, Paul said that the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, we'll stop there for a moment. If you're familiar with the story of the bronze serpent, Israel had complained against God and against Moses, and God sent snakes among them who were biting them and they were dying. And he told Moses, make a brass snake and put it on a pole, and whoever looks at that snake will live. And I've often imagined there were people even then that said, well, my grandpa told me to put chewing tobacco on a snake bite. I ain't gonna look at no snake, that's stupid. And they dropped dead. So when Jesus talks about him being lifted up, the equivalence to him going to the cross, it was to save lives. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. Now, I said I want to talk about the offense of the cross. It's these statements that are offensive to people. Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, and they consider themselves some of the best of the best. These men that studied the law all their lives and tried their best to keep the law, they thought they were pretty righteous. But Jesus came and said to Nicodemus, this world has a problem. He said, it's perishing. This world is facing judgment because of sins. And he said, I've come to rectify that for those who will believe and accept that. If they don't, they're going to perish. And this offends people. Many people today believe themselves to be good, moral people. I've heard it from people. And I've met people that you can't argue with, that they are decent people. I've had some pretty decent neighbors in my life. Would do anything in the world to help you. But that's not going to get you into heaven. And Jesus offended a lot of people in his day because he told them, God is not pleased with your religious apostasy. Having the law, they thought they were righteous with God, and Jesus said, but you don't keep the law. In fact, in one place he said, you're of your father, the devil, because you act just like the devil. People find that offensive. And today, many people, if you point out that there is sin and there is judgment, there is absolute truth, absolute moral, that offends them. I've been a minister for 28 years, been teaching, and I'm in my 28th year, not boasting. I ran from it for years. I didn't want the responsibility. But I have had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. And their attitude is, well, how dare you call me a sinner? Or how dare you think that this that I allow is wrong? That's called relativism. People prefer relativism to absolute truth. And if you're not familiar with that term, it means that what I hold to be true is relative for me. It may not be for you, but it is for me. So I have no right to tell you that your truth is not truth, because it applies to you, but it doesn't apply to me. I call that circular reasoning. I call that being confused. The truth is absolute. If it's not absolute, it's not truth. There are no gray areas. And I've had people over the years say, well, there's gray areas. No, there's not. Not with the scriptures. God said, this is right, this is wrong. This is good, this is evil. This is dark, this is light. I never read in the scripture where God said, well, it's kind of wrong. You know, you're kind of on the edge there. You're pushing it a little bit. No, God doesn't do it. He said, this is evil. This is good. And he said through the prophet Isaiah, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who exchange light for darkness and darkness for light. The Jews had reached a point of rebellion with God that they no longer wanted to listen to his word. They no longer wanted to follow his commandments. And God said, well, go ahead and walk by your own light. And he said, this is what you're going to get from me. You're going to lay down in torment. That tells me that God's truth is absolute. There's no wiggle room there. God didn't say to the Jews, well, you go ahead and do what you think's right. And, you know, I'll allow for that. God doesn't work that way. He said, no, I gave you light. I gave you my law. I gave you my word. And if you want to walk by your light, and to do that, you have to deny the light of the word. God said, well, go ahead. But he said, this is what's going to happen. This is what will come out of it. You're going to lay down a torment. I mean, you know, that's the opposite of peace. God said, you're not going to have any peace. In fact, he said through the prophet Isaiah, there's no peace for the wicked. And God considers that wicked when we question his righteousness, when we question his word. All right, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. I came here to save the world. You guys are perishing. You're lost in your sin. You're in the dark. You think you know God, but you don't. And I've come here to remedy that. The cross demands repentance on our behalf. That's one reason that so many people find it offensive, because repentance means to change. Change your mind, change your ways, change your course. Well, who are you to tell me that? Paul, in the book of Romans, the greatest treatise I've ever read about law and grace, Paul said, all have sinned. That offends people. Who are you calling a sinner? I'm not a child molester. I'm not a rapist. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. But you're a sinner. Because the Bible says if you break one of the commandments, one of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. And I've heard it over the years, and I've been guilty of it. You'll see somebody on television, in the news, that's accused of a heinous crime, and you'll say, well, boy, I hope they get what they deserve. Them nasty, rotten people, they deserve it. And I think God looks at you and says, well, you're lucky I don't give you what you deserve. People don't want to hear that. That offends them. But who are you calling a sinner? You? Me? Because I'm a minister, I'm not above anyone. I'm a sinner just like you. I've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ because I believe what he did for me is the only remedy for me to be saved, for me to be reconciled to God. Look at some of the things. I want to look at some of the things Paul said. Now, I just took part of these verses because I want to present to you the part I believe is offensive. And a lot of people, they'll come and hear the preaching, or they'll come to Sunday school and you'll teach the word, and all they hear is the first half of it. When you put it in parentheses, you say 21a, little a. That means it's just the first half of the verse. So bear with me. Paul said, and you were dead in your trespasses. Paul also said, you were God's enemies, alienated from him by your wicked works. And you were alienated and hostile in mind. If you don't understand alienated, it means separated. You can believe in God and be alienated from God. You can believe in God and not be a Christian. That's news to some people. Wait a minute, I believe in God. So do the devils. The Bible said they believe in God so much that they tremble. The Amplified Bible says, with the fear that makes a man's hair stand up on end. But they're not saved. The Jews in Jesus' day thought they were God's kids because they had the law. But Jesus said to many of them, you're of your father, the devil. How do I know that? Because you do what he does. He said, you don't obey the law, and you're trying to kill me because I'm speaking the truth to you. He said, Abraham wouldn't have done that. They said, well, Abraham's our father. He said, no, you don't do what Abraham did. He said, you do what the devil does. You lie and you murder. That was not well received. And these passages I just read to you, they are not well received by many today. As I said, these are the little a. The first half of the passages, it's not the whole thing. But people stop right there and they say, well, that offends me. I have read at churches that do not speak about sin because they're afraid they'll offend people. I've listened to preachers that do not speak of sin because they don't want to offend people. And I'm going to tell you what the bottom line is, in my opinion. Well, if we offend them, there won't be any money in those plates. How can we meet our budget? Don't make them mad, preacher. We're just barely hanging on. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can supply what we need. Now, are we required to give as God's people? Yes. We should give out of our love, out of our appreciation. We should give to the Lord. And Paul said, as we're able. I don't preach about tithing. I tithe, not boasting, but that's what I choose to do. But I met a minister once that challenged us, why not give 15 or 20%? Why just 10? Ooh, shut up, man. You quit preaching, went to meddling. You know, I don't want to hear that. The Bible says 10%. By golly, that's all God's going to get out of me is 10%. The IRS gets more than that. Amen, that's true. Paul said in these passages, you're alienated from God, you're God's enemies. And he said, you have no hope, you're without God in the world. And as I said, many people listen to those short parts, the first parts, and they go, that offends me. And they'll shut the rest of it off because they don't see a need for God's mercy. You're wrong. I'm not a sinner. I'm not alienated from God. I believe in God. I saw a man on a video I was watching on YouTube once, a young black gentleman was sharing the gospel in a subway train. God bless him. He was reading his Bible and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one guy got up and said, wait a minute, I'm gay. And Jesus made me gay and he loves me. You're a liar. And the guy, he said, sir, God didn't make you that way. You've chosen that. And he said, the Bible does say that he hates homosexuality. He hates gayness. But the good news is he came to deliver you and redeem you from this sin. How dare you call that a sin? I believe in God, and God loves me. And the people on the train, a lot of them started applauding him. And that young man did a very wise thing, in my opinion. He closed his Bible and he sat down. Why should he continue? Because the message of the cross offended these people. They wanted to argue and debate. He was outnumbered. He said, okay, I'll be quiet. But sadly today, too many in the church are trying to be quiet. Too many churches are trying to be quiet. Well, let's not preach against sin. Let's not teach against sin. Let's not call sin, sin. Let's call it a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. To me, there's no difference. Whether you call it making a mistake or sinning, it's sin. And people don't want to hear that. Paul talked about trespasses. Trespasses are sins against a known law. God in the law, he told Moses, there are sins of ignorance. People sin, they don't know they've done it. And when it's been revealed to them, then they need to repent and offer the sacrifices that he gave in the law. But he said, now there are sins of presumption. And God said, I'll cut you off for that. And when Paul speaks about trespasses, I learned this in Bible college, that a trespass is a known sin against a known law of God. You can't say it was ignorance. I was one of the worst trespassers there was because I grew up going to this church as a kid. I believed in Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel, but I chose sin. I chose to get into the world, and I apostatized. Now, I'm not saying I was a Christian. I don't think I really saw my need for a Savior when I was a kid. I thought I was pretty decent, and God was lucky to have somebody like me on his side. You know, I didn't smoke, drink, or chew and run with the people that do, so I was a good kid. I wasn't a good kid. I was a sinner. And I didn't know that. What does the Bible say about us? About all people? No one is righteous. No, not one. Now that's cut and dried, church. This is God speaking to us. He said, none of you are righteous. I don't look at any of you and go, oh, aren't they such righteous, holy people? I love what he said to Israel. He told them, he said, you know what? I didn't choose you because you're a righteous people. He said, you're hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and rebellious. He said, I chose you because of the covenant I made with your fathers, because of my love. And that's a word that gets misused a lot today by these churches preaching a false gospel, making false conversions, and they fill the pews up, but they're full of people that's still going to hell. because they haven't heard the truth. They don't know they're supposed to repent and change and turn from their sins because they don't believe in sin. God said no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. You know what that means? If you're not seeking for God, you're seeking for you. God said, nobody's looking for me. They're looking for themselves. They want just enough religion to feel good about themselves. He said, they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. They use their tongues for deceit. The venom of asp is under their lips. Asp are a very poisonous reptile. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. And then God concludes it with this, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's another reason people find the message of the cross offensive. They don't fear God. They think God's this big sugar daddy sitting in heaven that like a genie, you can just rub a lamp when you need. Oh, God, I need you. Come here. Okay, God, now I'm fine. You can go back to what you've done. God is to be feared. The scriptures say he doesn't bear the sword in vain. Jesus told Nicodemus there's judgment. Sinners are going to be judged. But he said, I came to take that judgment. I came to give you life, eternal life. He said, sinners are dying. They're going to die. But he said, I came to give you life. He's talking about spiritual life. Many of the Israelites were guilty of the sin of apostasy. I got a passage here from 2 Chronicles 36. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words, and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. You see, the offense at the word of God isn't new. It's not unique to our time. Now, Paul talked about the foolishness of the cross because the Jews didn't have the cross, but they had God's word. And they had apostatized so badly that God sent prophet after prophet after prophet and warned them and encouraged them. We're studying the minor prophets on Wednesday night. If you can, please come. We're looking at the message that God gave to his people. But God reached a point with them. He said, I'm done. You won't listen, I'm not going to talk anymore. That's what he said in Chronicles. God said, I sent you my messengers. I have talked with you. I've tried to pull you back, and you refuse to listen. And that's the boat a lot of people are in today when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They shut it off. That offends me. I'm not going to listen to that. You need to tell me that I've got this sinful nature and that I'm going to have it to the grave, which you will, until the body's redeemed. But you need to tell me that it's okay for me to be ruled by that sinful nature. I can't tell you that. That's a lie. The scriptures do not teach it. There's three avenues of truth in the scriptures. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says that the word of God is truth. Jesus prayed that in his high priestly prayer, and he promised his church, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. So see, we have the truth in three different avenues. God's people have access to this, but that offends the world. How dare you say what you're saying is truth and what I say isn't the truth? You need to keep that to yourself. I told you many times, there was a young man in a youth group I was working with, and that was part of my assignment in Bible college. I had to go through different aspects of ministry. So I got to work with the youth for a while. And he told me one day, there is no absolute truth. I said, are you sure about that? He said, I'm positive. I said, oh, okay. I said, you just made an absolute statement. Well, so I said, there is absolute truth. Well, I just don't believe in it. I said, well, what if I get up on top of church and tell you I'm going to step off the eave and walk right through the air without touching the ground? He said, you're an idiot. I said, why? He said, you'll fall. I said, why? He said, the law of gravity. I said, I don't believe in the law of gravity. He said, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's in effect and you're going to hit the ground. I said, then there is absolute truth. Made him angry. He said, well, yeah, I guess there is. And I said, son, God's truth is the same way. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's truth. And I said, if you choose not to obey God's word, if you choose not to follow him, you will suffer the consequences, just like I would fall off his roof and get busted up. People don't want to hear that. That offends people. Many churches today choose not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They use the Bible, but they cherry pick. Well, let's not talk about sin. Let's not talk about judgment. Let's not talk about eternal punishment in the lake of fire. That just scares people. And we're not here to scare the hell out of people. We're here to love the hell out of them. Well, if you don't tell them the truth, you're not loving them. When you conceal the truth from people, that's not love. In fact, the Bible calls that deceit. There are many today that are deceived into thinking that they are Christians who are not, because they have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have never admitted to God, I am a sinner. I am worthy of your judgment. You see, the cross requires humility on our part. James said we should humbly receive the word that we might be saved. So James said, God's word is the truth. You need to receive this humbly. Pride is one of the biggest reasons people refuse to come to Jesus Christ. I've been spouting it all this time. How dare you say that? I'm a good person. I'm not like this guy over here. You know, I compare myself to these other people. I'm a pretty good guy. Well, look, fallen plus fallen equals fallen. Sinner plus sinner equals sinner. Where do you get the equation out of that you're better because you don't do what they're doing? In God's eyes, I just read to you, we're all unrighteous. God said, none of you do what's good. None of you seek me. You're seeking your own ways. But thanks be to God, he did something to take care of that, church. He sent his Spirit who convicts us of our sins. He sent his word that if we will receive that, this is a guidebook for life. I've been reading this book for 41 years, still don't have it all figured out. I still see new things in it all the time. I believe that this is the only God-inspired book on this planet. Not the Book of Mormon, not the Koran, not all the Kingdom Linear translation of Jehovah's Witness. Those are not God-inspired books. This is the only God-inspired book on this planet. And how many people shed their blood so you and I could have this book? How many people were burned at the stake, drowned, beaten to death? All these terrible ways of dying so you and I could have this book. And how sad it is that we'll spend more time in the light of the TV than reading the light of the Bible. Now, I'm not against television. On Mondays, I like to sit down and watch some television. I've been studying all week and preparing things, you know, and getting things together. And God forgive me, I say, Lord, I just need a day off. You know, I just want to watch a little of the Idiot Box and sit there and be stupid like everybody else and just be entertained. But if I prefer the light of the TV to the light of the gospel, I have a problem. If you prefer that, you have the same problem. God's word is truth. We're to hide his word in our hearts. The reason so many are offended at the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I said, is because they only hear the first part of it. You're sinners, you're enemies of God, you're alienated from God. This is wrong and this is right. Well, how dare you tell me that? I know better than that. Jesus told us that the cross would be so offensive to some people that brother will deliver brother over to death, the father his child, children will rise against their parents, have them put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Here's the good news. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Church, we have to endure. I hate that flowery preaching that following Jesus is just this bed of roses and prosperity. You'll never get sick. You'll have money in the bank. You'll have a two-car garage and a Mercedes most all. If you just believe, praise God. The Lord didn't say that. He said, you're going to be hated. In one place, he said, you're going to be hunted and killed, maybe. Your family's going to turn against you. Jesus told his men, I didn't come here to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Because the gospel is so demanding, you have to make a decision and get on one side or the other. And Jesus said the gospel's going to divide families. That doesn't sound like the Jesus I hear some people preaching about. There is a social gospel being preached by a lot of churches today that Jesus is just this guru, you know, came to make life easier for us. My Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. If you don't understand and realize who Jesus Christ is, you're not a Christian. You can call yourself that. You can say, well, I believe in Jesus. Who's the Jesus you believe in? Is it the Mormon Jesus who is Satan's brother? If that's so, you're not saved. Is it the Jehovah's Witness Jesus who is Michael the Archangel who became the Son of God? Little G? Then you're not saved. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to God except through me. If you believe anything different than that, you're not saved. And I'm not trying to bash anybody with this. I know there's people going to listen to this message on the internet that's going to get offended and say, who does he think he is, that narrow-minded, bigoted preacher? Why don't somebody shut him up? I'll shut up when the Lord calls me home. I don't plan on retiring from preacher unless I get to a point I forget to come to church on Sunday morning. That'll probably be a good time for me to step down and say, well, I don't need to be in the pulpit. But I'm going to preach. That's what I've been called to do. I don't say that in arrogance. I ran from that call. I didn't want it. I read in James where it said, not many of you should presume to be teachers because you'll be judged with a harsher penalty. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that strict judgment. God, let me just float by. I'll be a worship leader. Let me play guitar and sing and lead music. Nobody gets mad at the worship leader, very often anyway. God said, no, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to preach. Do you know that God has a purpose for you? Every person in this room, he has a purpose for you. The Bible says that he has prepared works in advance for us to do. I believe that God calls us before we're even born. I believe that. The Bible, it just bears witness to things like that. Paul said those who are perishing are perishing because the God of this world has blinded their minds so they won't receive the truth. That's one way to pray for your loved ones, church. Ask God to take that veil off of there. The cross is offensive to people because, number one, it points out that we're sinners. Number two, it points out that we need to humble ourselves and receive God's mercy and grace that he's offering. And that means I got to lay my pride down. Paul warned a young minister named Timothy about what it cost to preach the truth. Paul said, Timothy, you need to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all authority. He said, Timothy, the time's coming when people won't endure sound doctrine. And church, we're there. We are there. He said they'll devote themselves to teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. I call that false conversions. They haven't come to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. They think they're good enough. They're godly people. They believe in God. Therefore, God accepts them. And that's a lie. Paul said to Timothy, understand this, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. That was Paul's advice for us. The people that profess godliness but don't practice godliness, what did Paul say? Avoid them. Stay away from them. He told Timothy, I charge you to preach the gospel. Preach the word of God. Paul wrote this shortly before he was executed. Timothy was a protege of his. Paul was a mentor. He had trained Timothy and taught him. And Timothy was the first bishop of the church in Ephesus. And that bishop, don't get freaked out by that. He didn't wear a funny hat and things like it. A bishop was the lead elder. And Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody despise you because of your youth. You preach the word of God. And Paul told Timothy, my life's over. He knew he was going to be executed. And that's the advice he gave this young minister, this pastor. He said, you preach the word, Timothy. You be faithful to preach the word. And Timothy was. Church history teaches that Timothy was beaten to death in Ephesus with launder clubs because he refused to compromise. People didn't like hearing they were sinners. But Timothy kept preaching the truth. I'll close with a passage from Acts, very familiar passage if you've read the Bible much at all. Peter and John had been arrested for preaching Jesus, and they wanted to kill them, but they knew they couldn't and get away with it. And a man named Gamaliel said, look, if this is from God, you can't fight it. If it isn't from God, it'll fall apart on its own. Leave it alone. So they threatened him. They said, don't teach or preach in that name anymore. And in the book of Acts, we find that when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the scribes, the elders, had said to them. And when they heard it, their friends, of course, of the church, when they heard it, they lifted up their voice together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pilate, Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plans had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hands to do signs and wonders that are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, we have to accept the fact that the preaching of the cross is offensive to some, foolish, but those who will accept it, those whom God has called, it's a lifesaver. The church is called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety, not to cherry pick the verses we think will keep us from being persecuted, but to preach and teach the gospel in its entirety as the early church did. These brave men and women, when they were threatened with physical harms in Jerusalem, and shortly after this, Stephen was martyred, the first one, a deacon in the church, was martyred for preaching. The church didn't say, God, make them leave us alone. God, maybe we better back down a little bit. You know, we're kind of ticking these guys off, and you know how it is. We got to live with them. They didn't do that. They said, Lord, give us the boldness to keep telling them the truth. I'll guarantee you that some of those people that prayed that prayer died because they continued speaking the truth, and they lost their lives because of it. Because the persecution of the church started out with beating them. Peter and John later were beaten with rods. Then they killed them. But the church continued to speak the truth. Just resolve yourself to the fact that when I share the gospel, the whole gospel, with people, they are going to be offended. Some of them are. Don't sweat that. Don't try to chase them down and make friends with them. Present the truth, and if they deny the truth, walk away. That's what the Lord did. He'd leave people arguing with themselves. Present the truth. If you understand and realize it is the truth, then you and I need to live the truth and speak the truth to people. But we need to understand that there's going to be people offended by that. Accept it and go on. The preaching of the cross is offensive to people. It is foolishness to some people. But that doesn't affect the way I believe. I hope it doesn't affect the way you believe. Let's not compromise on the truth. Because if you do, then it becomes deception. And I don't want to be guilty of deceiving anyone. Would you stand with me this morning? What does the Bible say? Peter was asked, what do we need to do? And he said, repent, change your minds, change your ways, change your course, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Boy, I've had more arguments with Christians over the last 28 years over that verse than any verse in the Bible. But I didn't say it. Peter did. So if you get to heaven, you can argue with him. Don't argue with me. Because I'll tell you, that's what the Word says. Have you done that? Do you believe that the Bible is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth so much that it's affected your life? It's changed you? It is changing you? I'm not perfect yet. I'm still a work in progress. I used to think that God probably had tag team angels watching over me. They'd tag out and say, it's your turn to do the Rick watch. I'm done. I'm wore out. But I'm so glad that God is a graceful and merciful God, that He's put up with me all these years. And He just keeps working. Just keeps working on me. If you've never called out on the name of the Lord, do that before you leave. Don't wait. You may not get another chance. God says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you haven't done that, do that before you leave here. If you need to talk with me or one of the other elders, do that before you leave. Don't walk out of here and refuse God's offer of mercy and grace. Don't be offended at the gospel.